You can't leave them at church when you leave, can you? Thanks for the warm welcoming, and it's great to have come back. Many of you I know very well. You know me more than I know you, because you've known me since I was thus small. And so it's great to be back and be able to minister to you in some way. Now, what's amazing, and it always, I don't know why it amazes me, but it does, and it happens at church up there as well in Lowestoft, is that sometimes when we share something just very briefly for a few minutes in a service before the message, it ties in so beautifully with what's said in the message. And today's no different. Apart from speaking for that exact chapter, it mirrors, a lot of what's been said, so which is absolutely brilliant. We're going to look at a slightly different passage as well. If you can turn to Isaiah 46 for me. Now, I really struggled to kind of know how to compact what I wanted to say in this passage into the time that we've got. And I'm one for, if ever I speak at my church, saying, you know what, guys, look, this is going to be quite short today, and it ends up being really long. So I'll try and keep it as compact as possible. But there's so much. I mean, we always find this, don't we, in God's Word. We open up a passage, even a verse, and a verse itself tells us so much. It can breathe so much into our lives and encourage us and lifts us up. More than we can just explain in the time that we've got this evening. And boy, we've got the whole chapter here. So let's read the chapter first. So Isaiah chapter 46. Bel bows down. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. Now, globally speaking, 350 million people suffer from some kind of depression or anxiety, illness or disease. Many of you in this room will be suffering or have suffered from it. Maybe that's quite a hard way to start a message. I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with it myself. And over the years, you learn to try and deal with it in certain ways. Sometimes it's best to talk about it. In fact, I'd encourage you, it is always best to talk about it. But we don't often talk about mental illness as a whole. Often it can be quite hidden away. Some of my personal fears and anxieties were often irrational. You know, I wouldn't I believe things that were going to happen but would never happen, and mum and dad were witness to some of them many years ago, actually, now. And we go through stages in life where things like this happen. We may have someone in our family or we may have close friends that are going through these particular things right at this moment. And when that happens, you can't concentrate on anything else. Nothing else can enter into your life. It's just those things that matter. You're struggling with those things, trying to get round those thoughts in your head, those things that are, to use the words of Isaiah here, that are really literally burdening you down. And it's all very depressing, literally very depressing. But I've got the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the answer. We've got it here in front of us. We've got it here in front of us. Bel and Nebo. They're the answer. Bel and Nebo. Don't worry too much. Bel and Nebo. Look at them. They're fantastic, aren't they? What a great pair of gods. They're absolutely brilliant. They're there. They're strong. They're mighty. They're tall. They're mighty in stature. I think they're capable of absolutely anything. The Babylonian nation particularly thought they were absolutely fantastic. They had their festivities every year. These two gods would be carried, as you read there, carried to the festival. One of them would predict the future of the gods for the next year. Very handy. Nebo was particularly special. This was the pagan calendar year that they would be celebrating. Once they reached one of the shrines, he could tell what was going to happen. It was absolutely amazing. What a stunning god this guy was. Absolutely brilliant. Nebo was the god of science, and Bel was the god of weather, war, and sun. So these particularly, absolutely brilliant gods. And the Israelites that were being held in captivity at that time, they would have seen these gods as well. And actually, in some ways, they probably would have bowed down and worshipped these gods. They would have been encouraged to worship these gods as well. But don't worry. You are reading the same chapter as me. I'm not on a different planet. Bel and Nebo were literally chunks of wood or stone or iron. They were pretty useless. They couldn't really do much at all. Though Isaiah does paint a picture of Babylon thinking that they were some sort of royalty, that they were some kind of, they had some kind of power, they had dominance over them, that they would carry them on their shoulders, that they had some kind of strength for them, that it was everything to them. These two gods were absolutely everything to them. But actually, Isaiah paints a different picture of these two gods being so heavy that even the cattle that are holding them, they can't do it. They're struggling. They're walking along and they're bent over. They can't struggle with this mighty pieces of whatever that are on their back. They can't do it. So what we're being presented with was a picture of sort of proud and epic procession through to the festivals. But actually, what Isaiah is actually saying is this is confusion. This is pointlessness. This is embarrassment. And the Babylonians, they're worshipping these two gods, which are absolutely useless. They're no more useful than the things we put on the top of our fireplace that sit there for years. They're not capable of predicting the future. They're not capable of anything. And yet, these guys would have devoted everything to these two gods. And they're not capable of protecting. They're not capable of providing, of comforting. They're not capable of any of this. And it's similar to what Stuart was saying earlier when we looked at that passage just now. What I love about God's word is that you can read something that is quite either... Perhaps it will be challenging. Perhaps it may be slightly depressing in some ways. But then the writer, whoever it is, spins it round, and you see that in the Psalms particularly. He'll spin it around, and suddenly it's like a piece of music, and you've got like this sort of a gentle verse, and suddenly the orchestra kicks in, and suddenly it's like God's there, wow, bang. And it happens here as well. When we say, let's read the first sort of four verses again. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low, their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome. Couldn't use the word burden much more, I don't think. A burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs, we can feel it building up. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. The God of the universe, with a capital G, is the God we read about here. The one that will rescue them. The one that will save them. The one who does know the past and the future. The one who created the past and the future. The one who summons every purpose. And we read that later on in this chapter. The one, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. When God says, I'm going to send Jesus to save you, he's going to send Jesus to save you. And he did. I'm bringing my righteousness near, he says. I will grant salvation to Zion. You know, and here Isaiah gives us a far greater choice. Do we worship these things like these two gods that are made of heavy material, that don't achieve anything in our lives? Should we concentrate on those burdens of our own lives, those fears that are kind of getting to us so much that we can't concentrate on anything else? They may be anxieties, it might be depression, it might be something at work, it might be something we just can't get off our mind, something that we just can't seem to leave and wander off to. But what he's saying here is, God is, I am he who will sustain you. Maybe this evening is the opportunity to allow yourself to leave those fears with God. Leave those fears and those anxieties with him this evening. Allow him to deal with those. Because he's not a lump of wood. He's not a chunk of something that's sitting up on a stage that you're worshipping. He's a real living God. And perhaps it's a little bit more than that. And it's funny when you're driving. I was just about an hour and a quarter driving here. I'm thinking to myself, oh, there's so much more that I meant to have said. But I've done the notes, it's fine. I don't need to say anything else now. But I have to include certain stuff. You know, perhaps it's a forgiveness thing as well. That came to me. Perhaps it's the fact that we can't forgive someone else. And that's a burden upon our own lives. But you know what? And perhaps I witness to this more than anything else. Perhaps it's an example of how you should forgive yourself. How you should be willing to forgive yourself. Understand how God has got this master plan of salvation, put this into motion, sent Jesus Christ to save you, forgive your sins. Perhaps it is an opportunity for that as well this evening, to allow yourselves to forgive yourselves, to leave that past, which in itself, anyone who's in that position will understand that that is a burden as well. To know that you just can't forgive yourself for things that you've messed up in the past. Small or big, doesn't matter. Those things burden you. They're heavy. They're no different to these things that we read in Isaiah. They're literally pulling you down. You can't stand up. You can't achieve what you need to for God. You can't serve him, perhaps, in the way that you want to. Perhaps it's the guilt of everything that encourages you to turn away from what you need to do to serve God. Psalm 55, we know the psalm very well. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Remember, God can cope. God can cope. These things, they couldn't even be carried, let alone could they carry something. They had to be carried, and even that was a struggle. But God's not like that, and the evidence is clear. You know, if we're in a court of law now, and we were sort of summing up the evidence, and we were kind of thinking, okay, what have we got in front of us? You're saying this, Matthew, you know, you're saying that God's, you know, he's powerful, he's mighty, and he's better than these two statues that we read about in Isaiah. How do I know this? Well, we're missing one vital bit of evidence. I've already touched upon it a little bit. We've already touched on one massive piece of evidence. Jesus Christ. The evidence is found abundantly in the Old and New Testament. Anyone that tells you that Jesus isn't in the Old Testament, don't believe him. It's everywhere. The plan for salvation, God's plan of bringing Jesus to the world to save us from the fall, to save us from our own sins, is there. It's there abundantly in the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, bang, it happens. Like a firework that we can hear. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, like the Babylonians, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Can you see how much God loves us? Can you see how much he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to die that death on that day on the cross, for us to find that invigorating new sense of grace that only Jesus brings. Sins forgiven, sins forgotten forever. And I had to look at that and think, sins forgotten forever. Yes, sins forgotten forever. They're gone. They're wiped clean. And we, gosh, as Christians, we can't even sometimes wrap our heads around that, can we? That God's forgiven us. That it's gone. Through Jesus' death, they're gone. You know, these gods of our lives, the gods of the Bible we read here, you know, whether it's certain mental things that we're struggling with, whether it's certain things we just can't get right, those flourish and they become central when they're carried. When we have to carry them, nothing else matters. But they're the ones that need to be carried, aren't they? They're the things that need to be carried. They don't do anything for us. All they do is burden our lives with all that they require from us. But Jesus is different. He doesn't require any work from us. We don't have to carry Jesus. He doesn't require any qualifications. He doesn't require us to be clean or tidy or well presented. He'll sort that out. All he requires of us is our faith, our acceptance that he's Lord of our lives, that we can trust him with everything. You know, so will we follow these gods that we read of in the first two verses of Isaiah? Will we follow them? Will we put up with those burdens that are really kind of on our back and we just can't seem to get them off? Will we just say, you know what, I'll manage along, I'll struggle along, I've managed so far, it's fine? Or will we say to God, God, I leave these with you. I understand that the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, is far more powerful, is far more mighty, is far more faithful than anything else we read in the Bible, than anything else we read. So much so that Jesus is there. Jesus is our Savior. He saved us. We're saved. Sins forgotten, sins forgiven. I just want to end with a quote, actually, which I found. I like reading some of John Piper's stuff. I like stuff that's simplistic, that I can read and get into it, that I understand nice and easily. But actually, he has a way of saying things which actually hits you right at the point and actually can be quite uncomfortable for you as well. But I like that as well, so that's okay. But just literally, just a sentence which I thought sums it up brilliantly. He says this: this ultimate love concludes in Jesus Christ. This ultimate love concludes in Jesus Christ. When we wait on the Lord, we receive Jesus. The other gods of this world say, carry me. But God says, I will carry you. The other gods of this world say, carry me. But God says, I will carry you. And just pray this evening that you might take with you some sort of encouragement from that, that maybe that would lift you up, that you would understand that these things that you're carrying on your back, they don't have to be there. God is far greater than any of these things. He can deal with those things. And boy, there's so much more to say, you know, on that subject, and certainly about, we haven't even really got into this passage too much. But go back and read it, because it's fantastic. The way it spins around, and it's like, I am your God. He's like calling them, come back to me, worship me. Don't worship these things. Don't worship the things in your own lives anymore. Come back to me, because there's love, there's grace, there's forgiveness in Jesus. One of the songs we sang earlier was fantastic, and I meant to have written it down, but one of the verses, I think it was the last song we sang, verse 2, you know, just spoke about how, can we get it up, Chris? Is that possible? There you go. Thrown something at him now. I think it was the last song we said. Yes, there we go. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future's fear, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home, and they will lead me home. Nothing else. They will lead me home, the arms of my Saviour. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how can we look at something like that and wrap our heads around how thankful we are for you, our God? Lord, we thank you that you are such an awesome and wonderful God, that you would send your Son to save us, Lord, us people who we rebel, Lord, we turn against you, we do our own thing, we like to do our own thing, we like to go our own way. Lord, we worship things we shouldn't, we spend our time doing things we shouldn't, watching things we shouldn't, saying things we shouldn't, Lord. And Lord, they're all useless. They're all pointless. And Lord, we pray that we would come back to you. Lord, that if we have a relationship with you, Lord, that we would come back to you this evening and be able to leave these things in your presence, be able to quite literally hand over those things which are on our backs, which are pulling us down. Be able just to hand those over to you, Lord, this evening. Lord, perhaps, Lord, if we don't have a relationship with you, we can understand now how great and mighty you are. How much, Lord, we need you in our life. How much we need the God of creation, the God of this world, the God who loves us, the God who doesn't require things from us, doesn't require work from us. We don't have to carry you, Lord. Lord, you carry us, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Lord, for your grace upon our lives where literally we don't deserve it, Lord. But Lord, still you save us. Lord, you still hold out your arms, Lord, and you accept us into your arms. Lord, we thank you that you are great and that you are mighty. In Jesus' name.